Hi, friends. Dumb Dumb Idiot here, Zach. So let me tell you a little story. Sometimes computers go to sleep, and when they do that, they can act a bit erratically. Sometimes they record audio, sometimes they record audio in pieces, and then sometimes it records the audio and sort of splices it together in random orders. The latter happened to me this week, so I'm missing sort of a chunk of the end of this episode for me personally. The only bits that we totally lost were my ratings, so I'm just going to splice those in. It'll be much less fun than the real thing, but at least it'll still be in there. So sorry for that, but hope you enjoy this episode nonetheless.
Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
No, it's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's
good.
Keep going.
Keep going. This is Faking Movies. This is episode 70-73.
Jesus Christ. You did it. Why did
we? Was that an echo? That was a manual echo? Is that what happened?
Lee, we talked about this. We talked about how we weren't going to say Heavendy after every single 70 thing. But hey, welcome back to Faking Movies.
Oh, I love these. I love the hijack 73.
But Seth, eventually I'm going to get to say Heavendy Heaven, and that's the best one.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, in a
weeks. You're right, you're right.
In a couple.
I'm here with my dear friend Seth, who tries to take all the joy out of my
life. Oh, we're keeping
that
one.
How are you,
okay,
Seth?
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're going with it, Zach.
Are you okay, Seth?
I'm good. I am living large as a doctor, honey.
Hey-oh.
Oh, a doctor and a lawyer, except not a lawyer.
Yeah, I'm not an Esquire, but I am extremely poor. I'm not a good doctor. I'm a bad doctor.
Just wait until you get on an airplane and you know, time lost is brain lost, and you're responsible for someone's brain damage.
Oh, absolutely.
That's an established
goof. No, there's going to be a real doctor on the plane, and he's just going to be a jerk about it. He'll be like, my degree took longer.
I've only been covered in blood four times while getting my degree.
That is
so.
How we measure
and it
prestige
was,
longer.
And it was rarely my fault when I was covered with blood.
Sure.
So,
though it was usually your own. Also here this week, of course, is my dear friend Zach, another doctor. What's up, Zach?
Not much. I don't know. Seth, how many years did you take? Which one of us is the better doctor?
Well, it depends on if you mean all of my degrees or just this most recent degree.
Just the most recent one.
It took me 5 years for the most recent degree.
Hey, I did six, so color me the best doctor. How about them apples? Yeah.
But I got kicked out of another doctorate program that I was in that was a master's to doctor. So that's another two banked and lost.
If I did have to characterize you as a doctor, it would be bad boy doctor, I think.
My department and my field both hate me a lot.
Instead of a white lab coat, you would wear a black leather duster.
Exclusively.
Hard to get blood out of it. That's the problem.
No, it just slicks right off. Cause it's I didn't say it was suede. Fuck.
it's Alcantara doctor duster.
Yeah, it'd be the worst. Least practical.
Well,
thing you can wear.
I'm gonna wear that when I walk. It's gonna be my robes,
hot.
Hood, and then a leather duster.
You should base your graduation robes off of like Lorenzo Lamas's outfit from the show Renegade.
Wowzers!
Jesus Christ!
Deep.
Well, we also have a guest this week. We have a guest this week who, like me, is not a doctor unless she is, and then I will feel sad because I'm the only.
You guys have comparable degrees. This is still a very educated podcast.
Well, that's super cool. Yeah. It's our dear friend Tiff. How are you, Tiff?
Hi, Lee. I'm really excited. Oh, but also, how long have you two been doctors together?
is me and Seth?
Yeah.
About 10 days.
I mean, I've been a doctor for like a week and a half.
Yeah. Has it been like this the whole 10 days? Like, do they just talk about being doctors together the whole time?
Honestly, no. I mostly bring it up because I have like serious like anxiety about how I never finished my doctorate. So,
yeah.
It's
okay.
So that's like some self-torture right there. That's rough.
You don't know Lee very well, but that's kind of his bag for sure.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been known to make poor decisions for self-care wise, so, you know.
A lot of talking about being a doctor, but it's very exciting for you both, I think.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole new world, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
A whole new world.
Don't you dare close your eyes.
Oh, God.
I don't anymore, because that's a power that doctors have.
God damn it.
Oh my God.
God damn it.
Yeah, we no longer sleep. You know how you can talk to Zach at any time at like 4 in the goddamn morning? It's because we don't sleep.
True. I think that's because
Zach drinks too much and just stays awake watching YouTube.
Yeah,
but, you know.
I drink too much and sleep very poorly. Yeah,
I am always
available.
You're also up way early
That's what I mean.
Yeah, it's great.
It's 4 a.m. every day based on either drinking or being awake all the time.
Oh my God, yeah. That's gross.
Say, I wake up very early as well just because I wake up early, and Zach always beats me. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's not good. It's definitely not good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your heart's going to blow up. This, as we've said, is episode 73. Thank you. So make sure you check out our website, check out our Twitter, check out our Instagram. We have got a guest this week, which means traditionally, and in this case, yes. Tiff, what are we doing this week?
Jerry
that was
McGuire.
Weird as hell. Sorry, I stepped on you, Tiff. What are we doing this week?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Jerry Maguire, which I realized this morning is not Jerry McGuire, so I think we're off to a good start.
Oh my God. Yeah. Please tell me he's a leprechaun in yours.
No, he's not.
I mean,
that would have been good, though.
Yeah.
No, the lead actor is not a tall man, so.
That's true, although he's taller than me.
Oh, well. Not in spirit.
He's not tall for a classical action star. Anyway.
Mm. Well, neither was Alan Ladd, but I mean, you know, you just get him a fucking apple crate and suddenly he's Shane.
Sure.
Oh, boy. That was a deep cut, dude.
Yeah.
You know, I've met the bad guy from Shane, right?
No.
Jack Palance. My uncle Jerry's best friend was Jack Palance. I met him.
That is crazy.
I think you've mentioned this before, maybe.
Yeah.
Was this City Slickers
post
2,
City
The Legend
Slickers.
Of Curly's 2? Curly's
it was post City Slickers 1, pre City Slickers 2. So I was terrified of him because I watched him throw a knife at a man's genitals the day before I met him.
He did do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was a very kind man.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
I did not get to see his Oscar, though, unfortunately.
Oh. That's too bad. Yeah.
Anyway, while we're derailing stuff. Anyway, Tiff, what for Jerry Maguire?
Jerry Maguire!
Oh, Jerry Maguire and his band of hooligans!
Oh, move along!
He's after me, pot of gold.
Oh my God.
Tiff, what actress did we give you for this fucking movie?
You could think of these actors as Lucky Charms, if you will.
Hey!
I guess! Like, what?
I think Seth's going to be mad at me at the end of this one.
it seems likely. So Tiff.
Seamless.
God damn. What actress did we give you for this movie, Jerry Maguire?
Okay. There's a lot. I got stressed out about this because
really?
I didn't know half of them. Yeah.
I was not paying attention when we gave the list. So what's up?
Oh, it was a whole shitload.
Yeah. He gave me 7. I feel like
oh
I've listened to episodes with 2, and I felt overwhelmed.
Uh-huh. Okay, so what were you given by these chuckle huts?
We are awful.
Tom Cruise.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm.
Cuba Gooding Jr. Renee Zellweger.
Nice. Uh huh.
Jerry O'Connell.
Yep, yep. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same. Regina King.
Famed football star.
Jay Moore?
Yep.
Moore?
Moore?
Yep, Moore. Moore.
Yeah, the famous douchebag comedian, Jay
God,
Moore.
He sucks. Ooh, he's awful.
He does don't suck. Know him. He sucks a lot.
Yeah.
And Kelly Preston.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
The famous spouse of John Travolta.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we left
also
out...
also happens to be a famous actress.
Yeah. We left out a bunch, notably like John Elway wasn't in there. And
yeah, John Elway is in there, yeah.
Various other
a lot of
actual football players.
Stars yeah. Just to,
oh, are there cameos in this movie?
So many. So
yeah. Oh, this is good. This is good.
No, it's funny. I need to bring this up before I forget. When I was watching it on Amazon, because it's on Prime right now.
Sure is.
I was watching it on my computer, and it has that like ID feature where it's basically like pop-up video.
Yeah.
And it gives you trivia and a list of the people in any particular scene. And there's a lot of like pictures and posters of sports stars during the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And every time it's visible on screen, it lists them as being in the movie. It's really weird.
Wow. Just a person in a poster got a credit is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It's like, like there's a you know, football player in a poster and it has their name as himself. Like,
I mean,
no, it's a fucking poster.
Yeah. They were dotting their I's and crossing their T's on that one. Yeah.
Well, that's real dumb. Okay, so, Tiff, what
yes.
you got for us?
Okay, well, I'm real excited because there are going to be cameos in this one. So, points there. But I crossed out Jerry O'Connell, Jay Moore, and Kelly Preston because I didn't know who they were.
You just crossed them
just
out?
Struck them from the list. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
See,
that
like,
is
I have my
totally
list.
Reasonable.
Oh, yeah. A literal list. Okay.
I can't say that. That's so pixelated.
It's fine. Marielle can Instagram these notes later. It'll be great.
Yeah. I was going to say, I've read some TIFF notes on the show before. They are, at best, chaotic, I would say.
just like Brittany and K-Fed.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, yeah.
Brittany and K-Fed.
Anyway.
No, this is like the good Brittany ears when she was doing good things, like the Vegas show.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. All right.
All right.
Okay, so I wanted to prepare more, but I didn't prepare that much. and I'm thinking, so I knew this movie was about sports.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, sports balls.
So that is the general direction I went into. And I decided I needed something a little uplifting. And
sure.
So I'm going superhero comedy
with
cameos.
Okay. Good, good,
perfect.
Good.
Okay. All right, so it's like present day. And the one thing I spent a lot of thought on, and this is about it, is like the beginning and the end.
Uh-huh.
Everything
yeah, no.
else was sketched out
that,
in like
tracks.
20 minutes. Okay, all right. So the opener... just like it's set in a DC present day. There's a lot of like kind of cadence music happening. And
okay, so you're
seeing like emails and like hearing random phone calls and random conversations, and there's like a build up to whisperings of like someone running again, and you see like a woman,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of see like just the silhouette of her. You think it's Hillary Clinton, like that's who you're supposed to believe it is.
Okay.
But then it's set in an ice rink, and
okay,
they so it's Hillary Clinton. It's the first cameo. And you think
sure.
all these whisperings
Hillary
about
Clinton,
her running again.
Ice skatress. Yeah.
Yes. And so then it builds up to Hillary Clinton having a conversation with another woman. And it's a very, like, kind of... there's not a lot of words being spoken. But all you really hear is, like, you're the one who's going to save you or save this situation. You have to run again. You have to make another run for it. And you think
okay,
it's Hillary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You think it's Hillary Clinton running again. Like that's the whole setup, but it's really Michelle Kwan going for the Olympics again. So that's
yes.
That's a plot of the movie.
So you said this is set present day. Would Michelle Kwan be like the oldest ever Olympic ice skater this by is, like okay. 20 years?
Yes, and this is why it's a doubt. Superhero comedy. We are gonna suspend real life.
This
we're gonna rally.
This is also a conversation Tiff and I have had in the recent past about like, what if she just did? I think she could do it.
Okay. So yeah. So that's what you're thinking is, yeah, Michelle Kwan is going to go for the Olympics again. That's the plot of the movie. Then, so Tom Cruise is supposed to be in this movie, I guess. I didn't know what to do with him.
Yeah.
I wasn't thrilled about it. So, yeah.
No one ever is.
Basically...
Not anymore.
You're going through this movie. Yeah. Michelle Kwan is starting to train again, and she has a meeting with Tom Cruise's character. He has a name, but it's not a good one. And
would you maybe suggest that his name was Jerry Maguire?
No, not even close. We're not there yet.
Okay, sorry. So your title character doesn't show up until...
Yes.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
So she's.
I mean, that's not like that's happened in movies before. Like, I'm pretty sure the movie Welcome Home, Roxy Carmichael. Roxy Carmichael doesn't show up, right?
Sure. I mean, in Star Trek, you never see Star Trek. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we went in two different directions there. I went for Waiting for Godot, and you went for Star Trek.
Oh, well, to be fair, Waiting is right in the title. I mean,
yeah. You remember Darby O'Gill and the Little People, and when Darby O'Gill didn't show up until
I mean. There's also Waiting for Mr. Goodbar, and like I'm pretty sure nobody throws a candy bar at the screen in that one. So.
In Armageddon, it takes till almost the end till the Armageddon part happens. Like
true fact.
Not for Mark Curry, his cab gets fucked up.
Oh yeah, he does.
That's true. Fair enough.
It also doesn't have to be in sequential order.
Oh sure, yeah. Okay.
Not everything.
Wait,
has
your
to
movie
be-
is not. Sequential?
Yeah. So then you cut the scene, you see like you're starting to see credits, and then you see Michelle Kwan and Tom Cruise, and she's firing Tom Cruise. He was the former coach.
Okay.
He's like
perfect.
Not a good dude.
I am
dude.
All in favor of this.
It could be like a Me Too moment. I'm like, maybe that's too much, but it could be kind
with
of
him,
thing.
I don't know. Probably. Yeah.
He does seem like a real piece of trash, so.
Yeah. I heard about all
we
the
just don't need
Katie
him
Holmes
in this movie.
Shit.
It's not his story.
Yeah.
So then we
great. Good. good.
Yeah.
So then we're fast forwarding a little bit. And you know what? I think I need to move some things around. This is going good so far. But you
How
meet
many pages of notes do you have?
No, I only have 2 pages.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. God.
All right. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
It definitely doesn't look like the napkins that Lee sends us every once in a while with his crazy conspiracy theory.
That he writes on in his car.
Golf pencil.
Yeah, because he pulls over, though, because he's a responsible citizen.
Yeah,
usually.
Yeah. Sometimes he just keeps driving and sends me voice messages that are just like, hey, remind me this stupid thing later. And I go, well, I'm definitely not going to do that.
I've definitely done that
to
you.
Several times.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, Tiff.
I'm sorry, Tiff. Yep. We're being real shithead.
Yeah, we're being real bad
today.
No, I
just assume you edit like a lot
thing.
Of this out, right? Or no, you keep all of this?
You assume wrong.
Oh, boy. All right, okay. Yeah. I'm going to get to the point, because... Okay.
No, you tell your story, just we're being assholes, and we shouldn't be, so...
Yeah.
All right, well, you said it. Okay, so... Okay, so this part of the movie is where Michelle Kwan is building her team. So you meet Regina King's character. Mm. She is Serena Williams' coach. And yes, Serena. No. So that's the next cameo. And they're like playing tennis. And Michelle Kwan is having this conversation with Regina King. And the conversation is like, well, but like, I'm not a figure skating coach. I'm a tennis coach, blah, blah, blah. And Michelle Kwan is like, no, I need someone who can help me with my mental game. And so that's Regina King's role.
Okay.
She like had built like amazing Serena Williams. She's helped her with the mental game and the longevity of her career. And so that's who Regina King is. Then you meet Renee Zellweger. She's a choreographer.
Okay.
That's fine. It's a short one. You meet Cuba Gooding Jr. He's a weight trainer. And so that's all part of the team. I think maybe... I think Cuba Gooding Jr. is gay. I think that's part of the...
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like in As Good As It Gets.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
wait,
what?
He was in that? No.
As Good As It
Yeah.
Gets.
Really?
Okay.
Oh. Uh-huh.
I like that movie.
I don't think you do.
Maybe I don't. It's
been
a while.
I saw that one.
Remember how
it ends out?
Maybe you haven't seen it.
Yeah. Oh, hey, remember how it has an enemy of the show in it? And he's a real piece of shit.
It does. Well, he's a real piece of shit in that movie. Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, okay. Sorry. Go on.
Helen Hunt seems nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So those are the people I used from the cast. That's like 4 out of 7. I feel like that's good enough.
Okay.
I think an underutilized like factor of this show is that just because we tell you all these people are in it, it doesn't mean you have to do it.
Feel the same way. I listened to a few episodes and Zach was adding people in and I feel like I could too.
I asked for the rules. Yeah. No, I like, usually you try to like sandwich everybody we gave you in and then maybe you add some extras, but you're just straight up cutting people out, which is, I think, again, not against the rules. Totally fine.
No, I'm totally for it. Yeah. I'm totally for
it. I mean, they can be in the movie, but like.
For rules.
Okay, well, Seth, this movie's not for you.
Most aren't, as we found out.
True fact.
Okay, so then, so that's it for the cast. Because my big issue is there's no Asians in this movie, and I feel like I needed more Asians in the movie.
Yeah. Well, you got Michelle Kwan in there. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's one, though.
Well, sure, yeah.
Which is, like, 100% more than most Hollywood movies.
Especially this movie.
Of this time period and this movie.
Well, I just saw Crazy Rich Asians.
Hey, Lucy
Liu
has a cameo
Asians.
In this movie.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay. So, I'm putting Awkwafina in this movie.
Oh, fucking love her.
And
she's really great. Oh,
thank you, Zach. Yeah. Thank you for
her name. Her name is fucking stupid as hell, and I don't really understand what she does. I think she's a rapper, maybe an actress, unclear. But
she is
I
an
like
actress
her whole
now.
Deal.
Yeah. She's very big right now. Yeah. That is true.
She's an actress right now, and perfect. The reason why she's in this movie is because of her voice. I love it. I think we could go lower, and so she's Jerry Maguire because of her voice. I love her voice, and I think we can get lower with the voice, and that plays a role in the movie.
Okay,
can we call her Jerry Maguire though?
No.
Oh.
No.
Hard no.
Okay, so I've been in a dissertation hole for more than a year. Who the hell is this person?
she was a rapper, or is a rapper, I guess. Like
I think
a goof
she's
rapper?
A YouTube star.
Yeah, but then she was in Neighbors 2 and most recently Crazy Rich Asians, I think.
She was in Neighbors 2? I saw that.
Yeah. She's really funny. She was also on the Comedy Jam, the goddamn Comedy Jam, and she sung the Linkin Park song and fucking what's-his-dead guy showed up before he died.
Chester?
Yeah, and she was like...
Chester A. Arthur was there?
No. And it was great because she made this whole speech about like how this really spoke to her when she was a teenager, and then they sung one of the Linkin Park songs together, and it was fucking amazing. Yeah,
was it Crawling?
Maybe I don't actually remember. see. Yeah, it was it was really good. She seemed very genuine, and I appreciate that. Yeah.
Well, thank you for teaching us.
Yeah, because I have no idea.
We're bringing more pop culture into this podcast.
Yeah. You guys know Logan Paul? Is Logan Paul going to show up? Oh, God, I hope not.
She also just hosted SNL, so she's very topical right now.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I don't even know what television I thought she was.
So...
Yeah, you own a projector. It's still a TV. Like, you plug your fucking...
I know.
You have YouTube. It's all on YouTube, right?
That's true.
I believe I can use this internet box to move in that direction. But
how else would you send us Psy videos all
the
time?
You're on a podcast. You know,
I do send people Psy videos constantly.
You are on a podcast as well.
I do love Psy a whole lot. He's a fun guy.
Yeah. All right.
Why isn't Psy in your movie? I love that guy.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Maybe we could get him to come on.
He's a wildly famous Asian. That's true.
He can come. He can be part of the cameo group. We'll write that down. Psy.
Just okay. All right. Put him in the background somewhere. That seems good.
Yeah. He's hanging out with Snoop Dogg.
So Awkwafina is Jerry Maguire.
Awkwafina is Jerry Maguire. She is the head coach for Michelle Kwan's team. So she's like a coach manager situation. She's the top person. She also has this great voice, which I think could get lower. And so she's able to have conversations just straightforward. And sometimes out of just not paying attention, people think that she sounds like a man. So that is part of it as well.
Okay.
Okay, so that's...
So some mistaken identity stuff.
I mean, like, it could go there, sure. But really, it's about, like, Awkwafina is, like, she's a powerful woman because she is able to...
She is. It's true.
Yeah.
Fact.
I mean, she's made it this far.
Yeah, she has fucking kicked Fate's dick in this.
So, I mean, know that Awkwafina, she's the one who's running this show. She's going to get Michelle Kwan to the Olympics again. But then you start to suspect that maybe that's not the point of this whole thing. Is that, like, maybe there's a deeper plan here. It doesn't seem like all about the Olympics. Because, like, Hillary Clinton, she's, like, still around in the background in some of the scenes and montages. Like, that's where we're
going.
Forgot
about her. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's, you see her every, she makes, like, two cameos a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. And then you start to see, like, Yevgeny Plyshenko come in.
Nice.
Seth, he is Russian, to be fair.
He's very
you like
Russian.
Those people.
He's the pride of Russia.
He is literally, like, maybe the national hero of Russia? Right under Putin, maybe?
I think so. Yeah. They're friends.
And maybe no doubt.
Maybe it's not Yevgeny Plyshenko. Maybe it's someone like Yevgeny Plyshenko. No, let's make it a cameo. Let's go for it.
Yeah, fuck yeah. He'd do it. He'd definitely do it.
Okay, hold on.
Can Nathan Chen be in it? Because that motherfucker threw 7 quads in one of the teams.
He
Nathan
is Asian.
Chen can definitely be in a cameo. Yes, for sure.
He'll be, when they're having dialogue on the side of the rink, Nathan Chen will be doing a quad in the background.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There we go.
And he'll land it because it's garbage time and he doesn't have it when it's time to get his shit done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
Landing quads in the background. Okay.
I watch men's figure skating.
You guys are making this movie even better. Here we go. So that's part of it. And there's like lurking and like weird, like mysterious music and dark scenes, something like that. And then there's the reveal that Michelle Kwan is not only pursuing going, back into the Olympics, but she is pursuing a presidential campaign because it's present day. It's midterm elections. We lose them, like Democrats. Sorry, I should be specific. They lose them.
Let's say we lose them. Yes,
I'm sure all the people who listen to this show will. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I've listened, so I assumed, but I just wanted to be clear that it's the Dems, they lose, and you realize that we're in big trouble, and we've decided that we're gonna, like, Trojan horse Michelle Kwan's Olympic career launch as a way to launch her as presidential candidate. And it's a very long plan that starts to unroll in the movie. I'm not sure how.
That's kind of like a Ronald Reagan thing. It's like, if they're already famous, like, if they're already famous, they stand a better chance of getting elected, kind of thing.
As just a like B-list a Trump actor.
Makes sense. Okay.
And a Trump thing.
Like, oh, yeah. Unfortunately, a Trump thing. Too. Yeah.
So, like.
Yep. Certainly.
All right. So, it's a superhero comedy. So, you just gotta. You guys look real sad.
Oh, we're not even doing a superhero part.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't hear much superhero.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that.
Oh, what? Jesus.
you mentioned it, but there's been no superheroes so far.
This is true.
Yeah, Michelle Kwan is the superhero. Why do I have, like, that should have been assumed the whole time. She's a superhero.
I mean, in our hearts and minds.
We're throwing random new people into the mix. I don't know what's happening.
Nathan Chen, also a superhero. Fucking,
yeah, that's
come
part
on.
Of the cameo.
Watch an Olympics, Seth. Jesus.
Yet again, Nathan Chen, only a superhero when no one's in trouble. But when people are in trouble, he crumbles under the pressure.
Yeah,
that's a good backstory. Me, Nathan Chen. he's a superhero in training, okay? Like, just, he's going to get there. Sure. Yeah. Okay, so no, Michelle Kwan is the superhero of this movie, and she's supported by all these other superheroes, specifically Awkwafina. That's like.
Yep.
All right. Uh-huh. So you start to see more montages. You see Michelle Kwan working out in training, and you see her policy development and speech writing and debate practicing. Yeah. Like, kind of. Yep. Yeah. That's what happens. You're hearing, like, your Mighty Ducks kind of scoring during the montage. Mm-hmm. That's how we're feeling about it. There's a lot of. I guess color, maybe? A lot of color. Keep, you know, you're seeing a lot of skinny dresses and rhinestones.
What
I should have prepared
mean?
More. I should have prepared more. That's what that means. I mean, but eventually you have your NBC Today show moment where you're, like, interviewing Michelle Kwan, and she and that's how she officially becomes a serious candidate in the presidential campaign.
Sure.
Okay.
Yep. Lee's face. No, not Lee. Seth's face. Jesus.
Seth's face. I'm just trying to follow the narrative threads, because we have sports movie, we have presidential election, and somehow in this we have a superhero narrative that is not apparent to me.
This is a super empowering woman story. How she's
sure. All right.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, where are we getting at? What are we doing?
I don't know. I mean, you see a campaign announcement. You start to see more cameos of, like, political people who are supporting her, endorsements, Obama. She's still training for the Olympics, by the way. And so this is all part of it.
That seems impractical.
Yeah, that's why it's a superhero movie.
Oh,
she's a
shit.
Woman.
Okay.
She's doing it all. And everyone...
Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, that's all part of the plan, is that Michelle Kwan can become president and win the next Olympics. And that's how it ends. Because I want to wrap this up.
I like the idea of a movie ending with, like, somehow the Olympics take place at a different time of year, and they are on the podium getting their gold as, like, the election results go by in the background.
Yes!
And
yes!
Yeah. So, okay, I was thinking an entirely different thing. What if the world crumbles so hard in the next 2 years that whoever wins the Olympics gets to be president?
Like a popular, yeah. Okay,
like that.
Okay.
That makes a lot more sense to me.
Yeah. They're just like, hey, congrats. You're more sane than, I don't know, those assholes. You win. Great
and
job.
And it's Michelle Kwan. And so then,
mostly,
and so
mostly that, yeah.
The Olympics are definitely involved, so you definitely have Psy in the opening ceremony.
Oh, good, 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 good. Oh, okay, that was the important part.
Oh, Seth is immediately back.
Okay. You also, like, the Spice Girls need to be in this movie, because I kind of, like, it would be a Spice Girl movie-esque movie. Like, and the colors,
can I, and the
pacing, and the nonsense.
You mean terrible? You mean terrible pacing? Because, like,
a movie
okay.
known for its pacing.
Yeah.
Can I just say, though, I unironically love Spice World.
Yeah, it has a great movie. Yeah. It's great. It's so entertaining.
It's so good. I would gladly talk about it at length another time.
Okay.
So Michelle Kwan wins gold and is the president in our both minds and hearts.
In this movie,
It's the happiest ending. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Perfect. And so, and then I skipped the reveal part with Jerry Maguire. But I mean, I really don't know what to do with that name.
Honestly, doesn't much matter at this point. Yeah.
No, but the idea was Awkwafina is like a campaign manager / skating coach. So you have these two really powerful women. One winning the Olympics and the presidential campaign. You have Awkwafina, who can manage a campaign and coach the best skater in the world.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you just see all of these people supporting each other. And Michelle Kwan passes like great legislation. She has a baby in office.
Okay.
She passes better health care and legal maternity leave. Legalizes abortions like for good. Free birth control.
That's how laws work. No one can ever touch this.
And she passes the U.S. version of GDPR. And then she wins the Olympics.
Oh.
And that is our superhero. Yeah. That's my superhero for now.
I mean, doesn't get much better than that. That's fair. That's fair.
So she's like Jacinda Ardern, right? The Prime Minister of New Zealand.
Oh.
Yeah, just like
who is passing all kinds of like all kinds of progressive media or all kinds of like progressive legislation and had a baby in office and is generally a badass.
Yeah.
Oh, show. Nice.
We need someone
NZ would do that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's we could also like do a sequel that's just a biopic for her.
Yeah. I'd be down for that.
Cool. Okay. Great.
Hey, Tiff, do you want to know what the real movie's about?
Not really. It sounds not good.
You are correct.
Oh, God. I have it pulled up if no one else does.
I got it.
Seth, you want to do the thing?
That's traditionally a Sethism.
Yeah.
I know, but I always ask.
This is a really, really long one, too.
Just like the movie, one might say.
Yeah.
Oh, it sure is. Holy shit.
All right, Tiff, you ready for this?
Ooh, there's a semicolon in this one.
Okay.
Because it's about sports, so that song.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
There's no semicolon in my version. I don't know what you're looking at, but all right.
Well, I'll follow along to see if mine's different.
Okay. When a sports agent has a moral epiphany and is fired for expressing it, he decides to put his new philosophy to the test as an independent agent with the only athlete who stays with him and his former secretary.
There was dirt on my screen. It was just a comma.
Oh my God.
Jesus Lee.
So yeah, Tiff, it's about a sports agent. He's a real piece of shit.
Wait, guess who the main character of this is? It's not hard.
Oh, I thought it was Tom Cruise who plays Jerry.
Yeah, it's definitely Tom Cruise.
Yeah, he super plays Jerry Maguire. Yeah. Would you like a slightly longer explanation of the movie? I know you didn't even want the short one.
I mean, do we focus on him a lot during this movie?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Exclusively. Literally exclusively.
Oh, and it's all kinds of garbage.
And everybody likes him. Ugh. It's just like Scientology incarnate. It's terrible.
So he's Jerry Maguire. He's a sports agent. He has this weird crisis of conscience about like not caring about his clients' well-being. Mm-hmm. So he writes this like manifesto about we should have fewer clients and care about them more, and then he gets fired for it. While he's fired, he's trying to like get clients to leave the agency with him, and he only gets Cuba Gooding Jr., who's this like
hot mildly head, famous. Yeah.
Yeah, what mildly famous wide receiver.
Wait, is he what sport are we in? Sorry.
Football. He plays wide receiver.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
For the Cardinals.
But Jerry Maguire has in the past been the agent for hockey players. Like his moral quandary comes from a hockey player's child. And the hockey player had like
played by Drake Bell from Drake and Josh.
Oh, right on.
Oh, the small child that says fuck you.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And his dad is played by Toby Huss, character actor.
No.
Sure enough. Okay.
Oh, weird. It's like a dog name almost.
It is a little bit. Oh, that's another famous Toby.
Oh shit. We did it.
Did we cut
referencing
out the
a thing
out?
That we cut out in the edit? Cool.
Yeah.
Is that what you were talking about? That kind of joke.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Here we are. Oh god.
So, another one. Yeah.
We did it.
This edit is gonna be. This edit is a full on fuck right here. Yeah. We're really doing it.
So he gets one client to go with him, Cuba Gooding Jr., who is a semi famous football wide receiver. He plays for the Cardinals, and he needs to like get a new contract. And his wife, Cuba Gooding Jr.'s wife, is Regina.
Regina King.
Oh,
Regina
King.
Oh, she's the best.
She is easily the best character in this movie.
Yeah.
In a movie full of people acting like unrealistic lunatics, she is very good.
Yes. Why is she good? What does she do?
She acts like a human.
She's a normal human. Yeah. She's like.
Yeah, she acts like a human
she's
being.
Like she's like,
and she's
I want my husband to live, and also I have normal human thoughts and
values. And like, I want to be able to afford life for my family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's also a good actress.
Yep.
Also that,
Do they talk about healthcare in this movie? Healthcare for athletes?
A little bit, there's a lot of concussion talk.
Yeah. So this is what, 1996, I think? Seven? Six.
Yeah.
Jonathan and so they talk has a bunch of medical issues too, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. But yeah, no, they cover concussions in football like way hard compared to what that was until like 3 years ago, which is confusing.
That's true.
So he's leaving the agency and he's like, who's going to come with me and be better people? And the only person that comes with him is Renee Zellweger, who is not his secretary. She's an accountant.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The IMDb
so fuck
was
you,
a
IMDb.
Lie. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yep. And she quits and comes with him to join his agency. She has a son, Jonathan Lipnicki, who's a little like rambunctious kid, and he has a lot of health problems. So there's a lot of talk about insurance
there. Yeah, Tiff, do you know who Jonathan Lipnicki is?
No.
He's adorable little kid.
He was in, like, all the Stuart Little movies, if you watched any of those when we were younger.
He has spiked hair and glasses, and he's very small.
Yeah, he was very, very small.
So anyway, the movie is basically just Jerry Maguire, like, going through a very, like, loud and in-your-face mental breakdown the entire time.
Yeah.
And charming a very small group of people around him into following him basically into financial ruin.
Yeah, he's a Pied Piper of shitty sports movies.
Hang on. Yeah. Is this just a cult? When you describe it like that, it meets all the criteria.
Well, kind of.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, by the end of the movie, he has married Renee Zellweger, who he doesn't even love.
What?
Yeah. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, he feels guilty about not marrying her, I guess.
No,
yeah, he's been
it's
like kind of dating her and really likes her kid, but he doesn't love her. And
is
like
he's
like
also
not
business.
A, is there not a happy ending in this movie?
Well,
I mean, there is
open
I
to
guess
interpretation
nominally,
yeah.
but like he. I feel like he married her and he felt out of obligation, and then Renee Zellweger is the one who, like, apologizes for taking advantage of him, and it's the most fucked up thing in the goddamn world.
That happens.
That was
that happens.
Really
she apologizes
rough.
To him because he's not in love with her.
Yeah. It's so gaslighty and all kinds of bullshit.
I think her actual speech is like, I didn't mean to put all of this, meaning, like, my child and whatever baggage I have on you, and he's like, No, yeah, it's cool. It's whatever. That
it's
was
cool.
A very
I married you
because,
like, I felt bad.
I think it should also be pointed out that, like, they make a point in the movie to, like, she has a kid and she's single, but it's because she's a widow, guys. It's not because she's, like, true. She didn't make bad choices.
No, no, no,
you know.
It was the 90s. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This movie sounds not good.
Yeah. Oh, it's bad. This is a bad movie.
Oh, you're it's also 2.5 hours long. So
goddamn
this,
long.
So long.
I feel like this movie was really popular, though. Like, I don't think I
was
allowed to watch it.
Massively.
Yeah, people love it as a romantic comedy.
Massively possible.
Yeah,
it's
we'll,
a rom-com?
We'll that
that's
bit.
What it is?
Yeah. No.
Kinda.
No.
Kinda.
It's a lot of things.
It's a rom-com that you can watch with your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's about
sports. It's about
we've been
sports.
Doing these a lot recently,
yikes.
Where it's like several genres. It's like a rom-com and a drama and a sports movie, and yeah, it's a...
Well, let me wrap up
bullshit.
What happens.
Okay, sure, yeah.
Yeah, so like, Cuba is his only client through the whole season, and he's like busting his ass to get this new contract. And eventually he gets hurt really bad, but he ends up that he wasn't actually hurt. And then everything's okay because he gets a new contract and everyone's happy. And then the whole time, like, so Cuba Gooding Jr. won an Oscar for this movie. And
whoa.
I don't get it. Yeah, I don't get
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
no, I get it. Well, I don't
no,
know.
Like,
else
there's
I get
a lot
that
of scenes where of he's very, there's scenes where he's very, very loud. And I know those are the parts where he won it for because that's what the Academy loves for supporting
really?
Oscars.
Because I think, like, the parts where he was being subtle
very,
and, like,
are the best parts.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Certainly. Certainly.
But, like, when he goes on stage, when he went on stage to accept his award, he screams, "Show me the money," and does a backflip.
Yeah.
Those are the scenes that he won his award for.
Yeah, so that's real.
Even though
stupid.
the scenes where he talks to Jerry and tells him he's doing wrong by this woman that loves him are the scenes that he really shines in.
Yeah. Like, yeah. No, because there's, like, emotional engagement, even though, like, his character hasn't, reckoned with his own emotional maturity and all sorts of things like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
In different areas, yeah. No, the scenes where he bestows wisdom upon Jerry, where he's like, yeah, I already have a family, and I know how this part of it works, are very much the best parts of this movie, easily. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like this movie
but anyway,
has a lot of emotional issues, maybe? Is that what's
going on? It does, and I have theories
yes,
about that.
Definitely.
Is it supposed like, is it supposed to be about emotional issues? I still don't.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. He has a full-on, like mental break at the beginning where he,
true.
Like, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he realizes, well, he realizes he's, like, a piece of shit rich white guy in the beginning. And then goes like, wait, I can do better. And then he doesn't?
Yeah, he really doesn't.
Yeah.
He just does the same thing, but with fewer people. And then the end of the movie is like, he comes in and he's like, hey, Renee Zellweger, I actually do love you. And she's like, you had me at hello. And like,
literally
also
says
he got,
that. Yeah.
And also he got more clients because now he's a good agent again.
How
yeah, I think John Elway was one of those.
Literally,
it was Troy Aikman.
Oh yeah, it was Troy Aikman. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, it was It was a footballsman. Sorry,
it was a footballsman quarterback. So you were real close, and they both played college football in California. So you were extra close.
Oh, okay. Hey,
and they both have horse teeth and faces. So super close.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Sure enough.
I like how close I was.
Yeah. So that's more or less the movie, Tiff. Some of the other things that we left out there. Bonnie Hunt plays the sister of Renee Zellweger, who's like, hey, this guy's not good. You should be careful. And, like, full on tells Tom Cruise, if you fuck this up, I'm going to kill you. Like, that's a literal line from this
yeah.
movie.
Okay.
And she dresses like Diane Keaton the whole time, and it's wonderful.
Yeah. She is the only, like, moral correctness in this entire movie.
What happens to Regina King? I want to hear more about her. What does she
her
do?
Her family thrives because her husband does well, and she's like a very strong presence among her family, and like keeps everyone in line and teaches them to be better people.
Yep. All
right. Well, that's uplifting.
Yeah. There's a really funny, like, quick part of a scene where Cuba Gooding Jr. gets kind of hurt and is concussed currently in the football game. And they're all sitting at home watching the game. And his brother Aries Spears, I believe.
Yeah, from Mad TV.
Yeah, is like, oh, I would have fucking put that in, and she fucking hauls off on him.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Like, that's a good scene.
Yeah, she's like, how the fuck dare you? Like, your brother, you live in his house. You are garbage. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And, like, like literally hits him in the face.
All right, okay. So there's that.
Yeah, yeah.
In the movie.
She is a very powerful woman.
I'm kind of confused. Why is Tom Cruise a better agent? Is that
because he used to have like 100 clients, and he was like just giving them like FaceTime, but not actual any like personalized effort.
Yeah.
And then he has this manifesto that he submits where he's like, oh, maybe we could be like more honest and in general better human beings if we like actually learned what our clients want instead of just going for money.
Which is weird, because it is...
And does he do that?
He does out of necessity. Like, that's true. It's a good thought, but then he gets fired for it, and no one wants to come with him, and only Cuba Gooding Jr. goes with him. So now he has to do that, because it's his only client.
Yeah, so like, there's like an indictment of athletes, too, where like what they want is money. Just money.
Which, of course, because they destroy their bodies for entertainment. Yeah. Why wouldn't you want money?
Yeah, that's reasonable. Yeah.
So, this movie is fucked up in so many ways.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Tiff, are you familiar with Cameron Crowe, the director?
No.
Okay, have you ever seen Say Anything?
Yes.
Okay, so he did Say Anything. It's the same guy who made this
Boombox,
movie.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, hold on. Say Anything is the Boombox one? Okay.
Yes. All right. Yes, it is. All right. Mm-hmm. So, if you're like me, one of the things that stands out to you about Say Anything is the main character is a man-child, but it kind of makes sense because he's in high school.
Tell a man-child.
Yes.
As we all were.
Ish.
Okay. Jerry Maguire is a 35-year-old man, and he's a man-child.
Yep. Yeah, and I'm really not interested in him.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So Jerry Maguire is a 35-year-old man going through a violent mental breakdown who coerces and they make a point of saying that Renee Zellweger is 26 in this movie, who coerces a 26-year-old woman who has a child with special health needs into leaving her job and following him, and then he marries her.
Yep.
This is the creepiest fucking shit. Yeah. Like, male, like, desire fulfillment bullshit. And it is, like,
that whole storyline is framed as, like quaint and fun.
Well, yeah, they're like...
Yeah, she keeps saying, like, that she wants someone to inspire her, and that the thing he wrote inspired her. It's like, no, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah, and they're like, what could I possibly do as a 26-year-old woman? Like, all the... I mean,
with my whole life,
I'm practically an old maid. So how could I ever survive? I have to take what I can get, and what I can get is apparently Jerry fucking Maguire.
Yeah,
a selfish, emotionally completely like distant and garbage human,
sociopathic,
all simultaneously. Yeah, almost. Yeah, sociopathic. Yeah, that's a good way to put it, because he is.
Yep. Yeah,
he has no regard for anyone's actual feelings until significantly later in the film, and even then, it's only like just starting, and it took a goddamn year after he married this woman.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and it's only because he starts to like lose the only people who stuck by his side.
Yeah,
it's only to gain something.
Yeah, 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 and that's what makes it like the quintessence of sociopathy.
Yeah,
and he's the hero.
Yeah, he is. And he's our hero. So this is why we're in the mess we're in now.
It's a real boondoggle.
You mentioned that you thought this movie was popular, Tiff. It was.
It was massively popular. I had. Yeah.
I feel like
it made. Go ahead.
Oh no! I feel like my mom watched it, which means she wanted to, like, she didn't see many movies, so I just remember not being able to watch it. Yeah. But I did not see it.
Well, this movie cost $50 million to make, and it made $275 million.
So
it was the It was the ninth biggest movie of the year that year.
Ninth? Wow, I would have guessed like second. Yeah. That's surprising.
But this is 96. That's a big year.
Who else comes out that year?
Let's look at the list of top grossing films, shall we?
I believe that's Titanic year, isn't it?
No, Independence
Day. No, that was 97.
Independence Day, Twister, Mission Impossible.
Whoa!
The Rock. The Hunchback of
Notre Dame.
The Rock!
The live action 101 Dalmatians.
Oh, I remember that was a good one.
The Nutty Professor. Eraser, which is, I believe, a Schwarzenegger movie.
Yeah,
it is. With James Caan.
Yeah, sure enough. Wowzers. Okay.
Yeah.
Oof. Mm-hmm.
A lot of good movies that year. Hmm.
Yeah, the 90s were great. I keep telling everybody on the podcast this. No one believes.
I disagree adamantly, but like, fine. If this was a popular movie,
So there's this like weird thing. I don't know. I feel like we've talked about this before, not on the podcast. There is a group of people that collect the VHS tapes.
Yes.
And they do it as like, I think they started as like a goof, and then they opened up like a storefront, I think in Los Angeles. And they are trying to collect sort of all of them. And it's not like for sale or anything. It's just as like an art piece. And I think they have like several thousand copies of Jerry Maguire on VHS.
Go to jerrymaguirepyramid.com. And
that's
you can
the one.
See
it's like
the.
A,
it's like a white case, right? With like Jerry.
The cover is white with like red lettering and there's some blue on there. Yeah.
See, I remember that.
And it's his face.
Yeah. The whole story of that thing is a whole other thing, but it's very interesting.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not a great movie, certainly.
Yeah, they have 1,500 15,000 copies of this movie right now.
Cuz they started out just buying them on eBay. Right. Yeah. They were buying them on eBay, and then they got kind of famous, and then people just started randomly sending their VHS tapes of Jerry Maguire to them, and now they're like, no, we're good. We're like, we're done. We're at capacity. And they keep getting them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, super
weird. They made a pyramid. It's pretty cool. You should check it out.
Yeah.
I have some casting notes that I want to bring up.
Good.
So this movie was written with Tom Hanks in mind for the main role, but he apparently aged out of it by the time it came out. And I have a weird theory about that. It's a little conspiracy-ish, so I'll get into that in a second.
Is it Dan Brown related? Because
not really. it's not. There's no codes. Nothing about Da Vinci at all. When Tom Hanks was still like the person that they were considering, they wanted Winona Ryder to play the Renee Zellweger character. They like had Tom Hanks and her, like they ran into them at a party together, and apparently like they acted like a brother and sister. So it was like, no, this is weird. Everyone hates this.
Sure. Okay.
And you know, incest porn wasn't as big back then. So
okay.
2018 reboot. Ew.
Yeah.
Yuckers.
Janine Garofalo got offered the Renee Zellweger role.
This is
on the condition.
Insane. This is
on
so
the condition
crazy.
that she lose some weight. That's fucked up. Yeah. But so she did, and then when she came back to them within the allotted time frame, they told her, "Oh, you know what? We already cast Renee Zellweger, so like, get out."
Okay.
That's real fucked up.
Several things. A, Janine Garofalo, terrible for this role. Like,
yeah, we would have had some wonderful stories about her getting fired from the movie if she had actually.
Not a good casting.
This movie just sounds terrible, like, all around.
Very much so. No, it's
story
literally like.
And development.
Yeah, it's like a sports movie crossed with like Bridget Jones's Diary crossed with like
it's
some sad
a...
Tom Cruise movie. Like, it's so stupid.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a rom-com that you like that your boyfriend is into.
Yeah,
like, it's the whole point of it.
Sports. And like, like, Renee did her part. Like, she made it a rom-com on her side, but like, the movie wasn't that. It just wasn't.
No,
It was mostly about this man-child barely growing.
Yeah.
Do y'all want to hear my conspiracy?
Yes.
Certainly, yes.
Okay. So I came upon this when I read that little tidbit about Tom Hanks aged out of the role because Cameron Crowe took so long to write the script.
Right.
And there's a line very early in the movie where Tom Cruise is at talking to one of his clients on the phone. And he said, you know, in 2 weeks at the NFL draft, all 26 teams will be fighting over.
All right.
Uh-huh.
And I thought to myself, that's weird. Because in 1995, there were more than 26 teams.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And I looked it up, and in 1995, there were 28 teams. And then this movie specifically takes place in 96, the year when they added two more teams. So there should have been 30 at the time. So I thought, like, when was the last time there were only 26 teams? I looked it up. 1975.
Holy shit.
There were only 26 teams. And then I looked up when Cameron Crowe was born. And he was born in 1957. So, my theory is that Cameron Crowe started writing this script when he was 18, which is why the main character is a 35-year-old fucking man-child who doesn't grow at all, because this is how an 18-year-old would interact with other human beings.
I just, I have to say...
I see it.
You're using the inflection that is Lee back of the napkin in my car, and this is my favorite Lee mode. It's so good.
I propose that Cameron Crowe wrote this as a child and was just like, I gotta pitch a new movie, Jerry Maguire.
And it's been 30 years. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not gonna edit this at all.
No, you definitely keep this in. I think it's the most interesting part of the podcast. So
far. Oh, no, he meant Cameron Crowe. But yeah.
Yeah, I did, but thank you. I appreciate that. That's very kind.
Okay. So then I stopped listening for a little bit.
Seems about right. Anything else? Do we? There's a really famous Bruce Springsteen song in this movie called Secret Garden.
Sure enough. Is that any good?
Not really. It's like
the bad years.
It goes like, he lets you in.
Wait, Lee, if you were to do that, how would you start off the song?
Oh, I would probably count us in and go, huh.
Nailed it.
Wonderful.
Yeah. But I remember when I was like 9-ish years old, this song was all over the soft rock radio that my mom listened to in the car.
Oh, yeah.
And it was intercut with lines of dialogue from the movie.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
So I do remember that, I think. Yes.
What? Okay, cool. Yes.
Yeah.
Cool. So I assumed, this song, because I had seen parts of this movie before, but I don't think I'd ever actually watched it. I assumed that this song was going to be all fucking over this movie. It is in, like, one scene, and there's, like, one line from the song in it. It is fucking crazy how big this song got, like, connected to this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the bad years for Bruce, I think, right?
I don't know. He had put out Tunnel of Love, like, 2 years before that. That's a solid fucking record, dude.
All right. Fair enough.
No, I feel like I remember that all over, like, Top 40... What's the lady? Delilah?
Delilah used to play that shit.
Oh boy.
Delilah's a real trash because, like, all her calls are just like middle-aged men going, "Oh, Delilah, your voice is just such a comfort to me. Thanks, caller. That's so nice of you. I'm Delilah." Like, you're screening these shits, Delilah. We all know it.
Jesus, this is an entire decade I missed. I don't understand any of this.
This is when Seth was in stasis.
Waiting to emerge from his angry chrysalis.
Yep. Missed all the Delilah and all the Pauly Shore movies.
Yep.
I guess so, because it does make me more angry to hear that these things existed.
Yeah.
So
certainly.
What else? What else, everybody?
Oh, this movie is bullshit. I hate it.
It was a classic. I definitely did see this movie at a younger age, and I remember being kind of fun, and then we talk about this a lot, but yeah, like, time has not been kind to this there's a lot of shittiness to women.
But it has, like, a number of these, like, famous quotes, right? It has the show me the money quote. Yeah, it has the you had me at hello. It has, like, and these are things that, people remember, but
No, name another one.
That's it.
Oh, I have another one. Tom Cruise, at some point, somebody on the phone tells him, people don't like you because they don't think you like black people. And he goes, I'm Mr. Black Guy. Literally, verbatim.
Yeah, there's some weird racist things, too. Like Tom Cruise loses one client because of the father of Jerry O'Connell, who, Tiff, you noticeably was absent from your film.
old white guy. Yeah.
Well, I don't know who he is, so...
Yeah.
He's married to Rebecca Romijn.
Yeah.
Okay, I know who she is.
And also is in the hit science fiction television serial, Sliders.
Why did you say that like thinner? Yeah. What?
Because they at the end of everything they always went Sliders.
Hmm. Okay.
Not ringing a bell.
Okay. Yeah, it checks out.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it was about a young gentleman who was friends with John Rhys-Davies, who found other dimensions.
For a couple seasons, and then John Rhys-Davies left the show.
It's true. Yeah. We'll talk about Sliders on Slidercast.
No, we won't. That doesn't exist. No one likes Sliders.
Tune into hashtag Sliderscast.
Yeah, but anyway, back to the racism.
Yep. I'm sorry.
There's so much of it.
Yeah. So,
and not just like casual racism by omission.
No, it was 90s racism where it was like some of it was casual, but this movie was not casual.
So Jerry O'Connell is like an 18-year-old quarterback star, and he gets scooped. Like, he was one of Tom Cruise's clients, and then he gets scooped by Tom Cruise's evil protege.
Jay Moore.
Barry Sugar.
Yeah, Sugar.
Zach, Bob Sugar. I'm sorry. Were you trying to deliver that through a vape?
I was.
It sounded like you were.
I was. Yeah, Bob, he was. Bob Sugar. Gotcha. Noted shithead Jay Moore. Sorry, Bob Sugar.
The father decides to side with our evil representative because Jerry Maguire, Tom Cruise, was spending too much time hanging out with, quote, a black guy. That black fella, I believe, is what the quote is.
That black fella was the quote, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so Tom Cruise loses a big commission and all sorts of shit because everybody is racist and shitty.
Yep.
But it's like it's real bad. It like comes off as just normal. Like the way that they try to portray it is like, of course, like why wouldn't you preferentially treat this white guy over the black fella? It's upsetting and gross.
To be fair, I think it's a different level of racism. I think in the 90s they were making fun of like white dad. And the implication was like white dad says the black fella, but like it was still really not great. Yeah,
it's gross. This whole movie is gross and stupid, and it's sexist and racist and bullshit.
Oh, it is racist. It is massively sexist.
It is uncomfortable to watch as a person. Like, Jesus,
I think awful. A quote that literally both of you said watching at different times today was, "Oh God, is Tom Cruise gonna charm this divorced women's group? Oh no! Oh yeah, he did. Oh, he did.
Oh, oh yeah, fuck. There's a runner where Bonnie Hunt hosts a support group for divorcees in her home." Yeah. That she shares with Renee Zellweger, and like Tom Cruise charms them at some point, which is
several times. He does it early on, and then he does it later, at the end where they have that stupid "you had me at hello" speech.
Yes, and after that one of the women like in the background goes like, "Oh, this is the best talk group I've ever been in. Like, there's true love here." It's so stupid.
It's really fucking stupid and degrading and all sorts of stuff. Like, this is a bad, bad movie.
Well, okay. should we do the rates? It's about that time.
Yeah, do you want the IMDb rating? This movie got a 7.3.
What?
Yeah, that's unconscionable.
Yeah, 7.3 with 215,000 votes.
Fuck me.
Is it that it's like compelling to see a white man try? Like, is that what it is that brought all of this? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I'll go first.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
The real Jerry Maguire gets a 1 because it's terrible.
That's
fucking terrible.
That's even more harsh than I was going to be. Wow.
It's also boring. It's not just terrible. It's fucking boring.
It is quite boring.
People say Cameron Crowe has lost his touch. I posit that he was always a fucking terrible director. It turns out. God damn it.
I'm feeling good.
Fuck you, Cameron Crowe, and fuck you, Jerry Maguire. Tiff, once I got your summation at the end where you told me what the movie was about, I said, that's a good movie. I want it. So I give you a 7.5.
Woohoo!
That is a crazy delta.
I had no idea what it was about until you told me right at the end, but I was super into it at that point.
It's okay. I was getting there too. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
I
good.
Had some ideas.
Seth, what do you think?
Seth. Seth is going to say that...
Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt.
Seth's name is Seth's name too. Tiff, I was kind of confused and frustrated with your movie for a lot
it's
of
okay.
it.
It's okay. I could see it on your face.
I didn't really understand why we were bringing in new actors when you didn't use any of the actors that we gave you.
Because it sounds like those other actors were boring.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that they're not, but like within the theme of the bullshit that we do. So I
felt like there really needed to be more Asians in this
movie. I mean,
movie.
Yeah, but it's a 1996 movie and everything is bullshit then. And,
yeah, but
and
I'm
like,
making my movie today, so there were going to be Asians
yeah.
in the movie.
Lucy Liu has a cameo in this movie.
Yeah.
So there's one Asian!
Yeah, I didn't know that until the credits when her name was there, and then I checked it on IMDb. She's in the montage video of ex-girlfriends that they play at his bachelor party.
Gross. Yeah, there's a bunch of gross, stupid shit, but wait, let me focus on the TIFF movie first. Okay. I like your themes a whole lot, right? And I just was very confused within the creating art within constraints genre, which is my favorite sort of way to create things. So, you get like a 5.5 because I actually care about your themes, themes about, you know, the fact that, well, this movie is bullshit, and then also, like, people are actually people, unlike this fucking movie.
Yeah, hit us with it.
This movie, is a goddamn nightmare clusterfuck of stupid bullshit. Because it's long, and as Lee said, it's long and boring and sexist and racist and Jesus. This gets a
1.7. 1.7. Can I ask what gives it the 0.7?
What gives it a 0.7 is Cuba Gooding Jr.'s portrayal when he's not screaming.
Oh, okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. When
and Regina King and Bonnie
yeah,
Hunt.
Yeah,
to a lesser
yeah,
extent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Regina King and Bonnie Hunt. Actually for Regina King and Bonnie Hunt. And you know what, I'm gonna give it a 2.7. I think that 2.7. Like, well, because they're both like rational people that care about their families in different ways. And when Cuba Gooding Jr. is not screaming about showing money or making up random
not the showing of money,
yeah, the showing of currency. Perform for me, currency. Yeah, it's like a goddamn Google Translate of a movie. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean. They take characters that are basically just stock characters to progress the plot and like flesh them out into actual people.
Yeah. And I think that Bonnie Hunt and Regina King and Cuba Gooding Jr. Do a good job, especially like when there is not a whole lot of yelling involved, which the Academy thinks is how you show emotion, and I think that's complete and utter bullshit. So.
All right.
It gets a 2.7 for those three actors doing good job being actors.
Zach, give me those numbies.
So, post hoc, much less fun ratings here. Real Jerry Maguire, I think we discussed at length that it's sort of not great in current context. But I don't know. One of the things we mentioned was that it tries to sort of be all things at once, and I think we faulted it for that. But if anything, it made this long, tedious movie somewhat more interesting because it's sort of, I don't know, like when you are bored with one rom-com storyline, then there's a sports one or something. Like, it just sort of is okay. And it has its moments. Cuba Gooding's great. Regina King's great. So not high, but I'm going to go 3.5 on this one. Tiff's movie, I'm not certain I agree with my rating at the time anymore. It seems a bit generous, but either way, starred many of my personal favorite people. Gotta love the Awkwafina, gotta love the Michelle Kwan, national American treasure. And so while Tiff's movie description was a bit circuitous and confusing at times, I think the movie itself has some promise. A lot of good characters. You sort of can't go wrong if you cram all those people in there. So, yeah, I think, at the time I went 9.5. Again, seems a bit high, but we're sticking with 9.5 for that one. So, yep, that's my ratings.
Hey, next time.
Yeah, next week. We got Seth doing, friend of the show, Happy Texas?
Yeah. Yep. We got... Space and time where Steve Zahn's in that
yep,
movie.
Yep,
that's why that makes sense, Zach.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I was just gonna let it hang. Whatever.
No, it's okay. I mean, show me the money.
Oh no. You had me at hello.
That'll work. That'll work.
Not good.
Oh dear.